Today on Real Radio.
When was the last time you wept over the fact that you've got a loved one in your family that is on their way to hell? Do you care?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at the letter of 1 Corinthians written by the Apostle Paul. Throughout church history, there have been debates about certain activities in which believers should or should not participate. Because we are no longer under the law, the debates on these issues seem to continue. Now, Paul doesn't leave us in the dark in these areas. In chapter 9, he demonstrates how certain actions may be a sin to one believer, but not necessarily to another. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Every Christian, a Life.
Paul says in verse 4, do we have no right to eat and drink? He's talking about himself. In fact, his ministry team, Barnabas, was with them. He says, no, we have a right to eat and drink. He said, what does that mean? He says, as an apostle, don't I have the right to, the word implies gourmet food and high-end drink. I'm an apostle, he says. Listen, don't I have the right to this? Because listen, they're questioning his authority. Verse 5, do we have no right to take along a believing wife? Paul is saying, can't I get married? Peter's married. Look at the end of verse 5. See the word Cephas? That's Peter's nickname. He says, Peter got married. Paul is saying, don't I have the right to get married? Church, you guys all know the answer to this, right? Doesn't Paul have the right to eat food? Yep. Doesn't he have the right to drink high-end drink? I don't know what that means, but yeah. Doesn't he have a right as an apostle to get married? Yep. Peter, he says, look, Peter got married. Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Peter and all those guys, they were getting paid for being apostles and traveling the world and setting up churches and all that stuff. He's going, hey, don't we have the right? Church, the answer is, yes, he has the right. The Corinthian church was wondering, Paul, you know, you wrote to us a couple weeks ago with that letter of chapter 6 and 7 and 8, and you told us stuff about meat offered to idols, and some of us didn't like that. And then you talked about divorce and remarriage, and you laid down some rules from God. We didn't like that. And you talked about sex outside of marriage. You talked about adultery and fornication. We definitely did not like that. So some in the church are questioning your authority. And so Paul says, hey, wait a minute. Isn't your life, Corinthian believers, the fact that though others may deny that I might be an apostle, all you have to do is look at your own life, Corinthians, and understand what's he actually doing is boasting in a godly way of his love for the Corinthian. And so he announces this deliberate call upon his life from God. He says, hey, we've got rights as believers. By the way, Christian, so do you. You've got rights. Watch how this comes together. I think it's rather exciting. He says in verse 7, whoever goes to war at his own expense. We don't send soldiers off and say, hey, can you pay for this? My goodness, you know, for almost 3 years in the revolutionary colonial period of our nation's founding, did you know that John Hancock and George Washington they bought arms and shoes and gunpowder for our own troops because Congress couldn't come to an agreement on what to do with the Continental Army? Some things never change. Congress couldn't get anything done. So George Washington and John Hancock start paying for the war themselves. Nobody sends a soldier to battle without the populace paying for it. Everybody goes, yeah, we understand that. Well, he goes, look at this. He says, it goes on. The man who plants a vineyard, does he not eat of the fruit of it? You know this. If anybody's planted a vineyard, look, I've got 5 tomatoes growing at home right now. I guarantee you, my neighbor is not going to pick one of those tomatoes. I'm going to pick it. Why? Because I'm the one that bought the tomato plant from the store with tomatoes already on it. But it's in my backyard that the bank owns. Right? I plant it, I'm going to eat it. That's normal thinking. The husbandman, that is the planter, the farmer, eats first of it. That's normal. He goes on. He says, doesn't the one who tends to the flock drink the milk of it first? Of course. Verse 8, do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle out the ox while it treads out the grain. Or is it an ox that God's concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, that it is written that he who plows should plow in hope. He who threshes in hope shall be the one in plowing that reaps and is the partaker of it. Verse 11, if we have sown in spiritual things for you, is it not a great thing if we reap material things? That is, that they would provide? Paul is saying that there's a deliberate call upon his life and it's been ordained by God. And I want to argue with you today that it's true about your life. Paul the apostle, but true about your life. Thirdly, it's practical. God's call upon his people is that it's a practical call. A practical call by God upon our lives. Look at verse 12. If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Because Paul had brought them almost, as it were, to a spiritual birth and development. He says, nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the temple? Here it is, verse 14. This is the big deal. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Stop right there. Practical. That's all very practical. God says those who minister the gospel are to be provided for by the congregation. Paul says that's exactly what the Old Testament teaches. It's what the New Testament teaches. And he's making his point to the Corinthians. But watch this. It's so practical. But when he says, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach. Here's the cool thing about this. There is no way that this church can function without all of us being involved in the preaching activity. Not going to happen. God uses the things that you have in your life by way of gifting and generosity. God uses the things in my life by way of gifting and generosity. And the whole push is to get the gospel to the world. And that's the next thing that we see. Look at verses 15 to 23. Number two, it is this. God creates his witnesses. And I love this part. I love this point. In verses 15 to 19, his witness is the gospel itself. The gospel. The gospel, the word means the evangel or the good news, the message of Jesus. That's what the gospel means. And the Bible tells us that the gospel is hidden in our hearts as Christians. Earlier I said, how many of you would raise your hands if you're Christians? If you'd raise your hands if you're Christians, we could only do that and be honest if the gospel is in our heart. That means you'd be able to tell people what the gospel is. Do you know the gospel? You can't, listen, you can't be saved by the gospel if you don't know what the gospel is. I don't know what it is, but I go to church. Not saved. I don't know what it is. I go to church sometimes, but I give money. Not saved. I go to church on Easter and Christmas. Not saved. I don't care if you go to church every day of the week. If you don't know the gospel, how can you get saved and calling out to Christ and dependence upon Christ without knowing why? It's impossible. The gospel, now watch, and I mean this in a theoretical sense. I'm not pointing at anybody. I'm not insulting anyone. But I'm saying that right here, right now, that the audience, as it were, is beginning to be whittled down to who is a Christian in life. Because the religionist now has got to step outside the camp. The recreational Christian has got to step outside the camp. Who is the 24/7, moment by moment, ever-present God in my life believer? This is the challenge of God's people. This is the lifestyle that we're to be living. And today you might be saying, this is insanity. I can't believe what I'm hearing. But the truth of the matter is, that is an actual relationship with the living God. Listen, can we not have moment by moment relationships with human beings, with people? Can you not have someone on your mind? Yes. How much more God if you know him? Now our group just got a little smaller because some can't relate to this. I don't understand what he's talking about. This is a very serious thing. His witness is the gospel. Verse 15, but I have used none of these things. I love those words. In the first 14 verses, Paul was arguing all about his rights and opportunities as a believer and as an apostle. Look at verse 15. This is great. He says, but I have used none of these things. What is he saying? I've not exercised one privilege that is available to me to take care of my own life. I've set them off to the side. Why? Because watch this. Nor have I written these things that it should be done to me. For it would be better for me to die than anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. This is his motive. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, like I don't want to, I will have been entrusted with a stewardship. Verse 17 means if you proclaim the gospel in life, and sometimes words, if you have to use them, Paul says, you're in a win-win situation. This is good. Verse 18, what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. What an awesome, beautiful thing to say. What is he announcing? That the gospel is the witness of God and it comes through us. Church, we are the ones that God wants to preach and speak the gospel through in our life. Look at verses 20 to 22. His witness is the cross. A lot of people have misrepresented and mistaken verses 20 to 22. They think that Paul is a compromiser. I don't know how you could think of that unless you want him to be one so you can be one. You can't read Paul's life and think, well, this guy's got a little loose around the edges. No, look at verses 20 to 22. He says, watch this. He says, to the Jew, I became as a Jew. This is interesting because number one, he used to be a Jew. You say, what do you mean Jew? Yes, he's Jewish. He's DNA. The Bible tells us that he's from the tribe of Benjamin, of the stock of Israel. The Bible says he was circumcised on the eighth day, which is the day you're supposed to be circumcised. The Bible says concerning his zeal, you read, he's persecuted the church. The Bible says he's the guy. He says of his own life, concerning the law, I was blameless. Can you say that about you? Can I say that about me? Wow. But he came to Jesus. He came to Christ. And here is the point. What drives verses 20 to 22 is the cross in Paul's heart. Church, here it is. When was the last time you wept over the fact that you've got a loved one in your family that is on their way to hell? Do you care? You say, well, hell, what? Hell, where? What? The Bible says that without God, it's hell. The Bible says, with God, it's heaven. Well, how do I get to heaven? Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Well, that's narrow. Of course it's narrow. It's got to be narrow. It was very expensive to God. But there's a real hell. And Paul is saying, look, God brought me out of Judaism. But I will go and dress up and wear the stuff and I'll sit down, I'll eat the food, I'll do everything just for the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with them. Listen, I love you, but listen. Do we have that big of a burden for the lost souls that are in our lives? Or are we just fine if our moms or dads wind up in hell? Do you love your dad? Do you love your mom? Do you love your kids? What about your neighbors? Do you have a sister? I remember taking a picture of my brother and praying for my brother, a photograph. I would just cry my head off for years. And I have to tell you, I don't remember, I can't tell you when's the last time I just wept for someone that I know is lost. I need to get back to that. I need to invest in that again. And in your own home and in my own home and those that we know, what about our bosses? What about those people? Any workers, any coworkers we have? Any employees that we have? Do you care about them? To take them before the throne of God. See, in that context, Paul says, listen, I will not eat pork. I'll dress up like the Jews and hang out with Jews to give them the gospel. He won't hang out with Jews just to have falafel. He'll hang out with the Jews to give them the gospel. Okay? And then he says to those that are without the law, that's the Gentiles. Paul says, listen, I'll go to the Gentiles. What does that mean? Paul would say today, I'll go to a duck game. Paul the Apostle goes to a duck game. Paul would say, I don't go to duck games to go to duck games. I'm going to go to a duck game because I was invited by my boss to go to a duck game, and I'm going to take Jesus with me to the duck game. And I'm going to be asking God to open up the door every few moments. Lord, let me know, speak to me. When's a good time to bring you up? And that's always, by the way, you guys can have that. That's for free. Write it down. Ask the Lord in your life to open up the door of witnessing opportunity and make it obvious to you. When God does it, strike like a hot iron. You'll never fail. But you see, we don't see that dynamic happen in our lives because we're not asking. God, let me know when you want me to share with this guy. Watch what happens. Paul's not compromising by going to the duck game. And listen, don't think for a moment that when he goes to witness to unbelievers that he goes to Joe's Bar and Grill and cranks open a brewski and, hey man, I just want to share Jesus with you, brother, here. No, that's the way you want it to look like, but that's not the way it is. He never compromised. You know what? As a church, I hate these walls. I hate these walls. I wonder how many more people would come and hear about the love of God if there were no walls, and the people driving by the freeway or by the various avenues around here would just see people sitting down, and what's going on in there? And we can hear people praising the Lord and worship. What's going on? Let's pull over. But no, these walls keep that from happening. We need to get outside of our bubble, guys. By guys, I mean guys and girls, guys. All us guys. We need to get out of our bubble. Do we go to our Christian church and then go to our Christian family and then we go to our Christian company and then we go to our Christian and it's all Christian? Well, when's someone going to get saved? Where are we going to go? There's some of you in this place today. There's probably women here that God is calling you to go reach out to the prostitutes down in Pomona. There may be some men here today where the Lord is calling you to reach out to some of the guys that are at the health club over here. I don't know. But we got to go get them. I don't care if they come here. I just care they get to heaven. And it's all about the power of the cross that does that. And his witness is through the Christian. That's what I'm talking about. Look at verse 23. Mark that down. Verse 23, it's his witness in the Christian life. Watch this. Now, Paul says, look, now this I do for the gospel's sake that I may be a partaker of it with you. Simply this, that the gospel is being watched and viewed through Paul's life. And Paul says, together we'll do this. We will reach the world together. How many of you own a smartphone? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high. You know, like, okay. How many of you own a computer? Raise your hands. Computer? Okay. Isn't it bizarre? Think of this. There's enough people in this room right now. This is amazing. Where you could take the gospel. You could type it out, the gospel. You could type it out. You could put it on your computer, and you could hit send. If you're a member, by the way, of our internet missions team, internet missionaries, imagine that. You guys are already on it, worldwide, you can hit return. You can make a statement about Jesus and the love of God and his ability to forgive sin and to get you into the kingdom of heaven. He died and rose again from the grave. Jesus Christ did this for you because he loves you. And salvation is a free gift that comes through him. So trust him today. Send. Boop. How many people can you send that to? Think about all the power that's in this room right now that can preach the gospel in 30 seconds to the world. Wow. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, and this is an amazing moment. You can read Acts 4 later. It's one of the most fun chapters of the Bible. The gospel's exploding. The church is growing. And Peter and John are on their way to the temple, and a great discussion breaks out and ministry takes place. And it says there in verse 12, Peter is speaking. He says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's the name Jesus. Verse 13, "Now when they," that's the bad guys, "when the bad guys saw the boldness of Peter and John," watch this, number one, "they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained." Okay, whatever's going on, they go, these guys are uneducated. These guys did not graduate from any school nearby. Look, they marveled. The word marveled, we get the word also that they were impressed or admired them. Why? Because look at the next line. "And they realized that they had been with Jesus." Jesus had long been resurrected. He was back in heaven. Christian, listen. The more you have of Jesus and the more time you spend with Jesus, the more your preaching is effective. You say, "Pastor, I don't want to open my mouth." I'm not talking about opening your mouth. I'm talking about living your life. The life of a Christian. Day in, day out. How you love. How you care for people. How you think. You're different. That's preaching. It's not mouthing. It's the life you're transmitting out of you 24/7.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that looks at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul deals with certain actions that may be a sin to one believer, but not necessarily to another. The title of this study, Every Christian, a Life. Every Christian, a Life. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently we've been telling you about our brand new television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Tell us about it, would you, Pastor Jack?
That's right, Davey. We are very excited about this opportunity that has really been dropped in our laps, and so we're just going to lay it out before the Lord and see what he'd have to do with it, and that is Real Life, the program. We've got Real Radio, and now we have Real Life, and if the Lord is in it, then he'll bless it. If not, then listen, we've stepped out in obedience. But it's a program on internet television, which is remarkable in and of itself, the listening audience, the vast area that that's able to cover, but we're really serving up issues and topics that deal with our biblical worldview. And so we have interviews, we have clips from programs, we've got things that are going on that I think will help you maybe be more equipped on how to share Jesus in your everyday life. So really our passion is this, that it's our hope that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. And by doing that, sharing Christ and knowing more, you might become a greater influence in your community and your home and around the world.
Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs Monday nights, 7 p.m. West Coast time on hischannel.com. Just click Live TV Stream for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.